In the Allstate Skyline studio, I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I hope that you are happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. And don't forget, you can check out our Facebook page, Patty V Show, or follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI, because I couldn't get my own name right out of the gate, Scott Stantis. So you got your name out of the gate. There's no other Scott Stantis?
There are 13 Stantises in the world. Well, in the United States.
The United States is not the world.
Well, we're kind of the world.
All right, a little bit.
There's 13 of us?
Scott Stantis is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune and a member of the editorial board.
We are.
And is it at Scott Stantis?
Yes.
Is your Twitter handle.
That is.
People can find all your
Facebook
work.
Is Scott Stantis.
And you just came back from a New Year's sort of trip, a little bit of a jaunt.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everyone's having wild times and going to parties and wearing diapers in Times Square and all that stuff, right?
I was glad to see that Roger Badish was not asked to wear a diaper again this year. He's worn a diaper for the Steve and Johnny show. But yes, there are some people who dress up in diapers.
I don't wear them almost ever.
And no.
You too?
Fine.
Yeah, okay.
That's fine.
We have so much in common.
Exactly.
I went out to John Hopkins Applied Physics Lab.
And as you do.
I know right now people are going, what? No way. And it was the Ultima Thule flyby of the New Horizons mission. It's a Kuiper belt thing. They didn't even know what it was. Mm-hmm. They didn't even know it existed when the thing was halfway to Pluto. New Horizons is a mission that went by Pluto.
Okay.
And they had no idea this thing existed. They were kind of looking for something they could drive by later. And they came across Ultima Thule, which it turns out they just got the better resolution pictures. They're getting better every day. And it looks like, they thought it looked like a bowling pin originally. It looks like a snowman.
Oh, this is what I've been seeing on the news.
Yes.
So it's like this formation.
Yes, it has very few craters. I mean, I can geek out, and I don't know anyone wants that to happen, but truly.
You could have a geek off with Elliot Serrano.
Oh, well, he's geeking a different way.
He's a chief geek officer. Yes, but geek is geek. It's being very knowledgeable about a certain area. Oh, yeah, whatever you have. See, I'm not a, obviously not a grammar geek right over here. But in your area of specialty, you prefer astrophysics.
I do, and this was fascinating, and it's just exciting. It's an amazing mission. This thing is a billion miles further out than Pluto.
A billion.
That's further
so
than Pluto.
Far away.
So it's over 4 billion miles away from us right now.
How long would it take to get there?
Well, it took the signal 12 hours round trip.
Okay.
So that gives you about six hours one way. Just speed of light.
Right, that's speed of light.
Yeah.
Everything else is going to take longer.
It could, yes.
We
haven't figured that one out yet.
What's that thing on Star Trek where you...
Warp speed. But
you're zapped somewhere else.
Transporter, which I want. How cool would that be? You could work in...
Have you seen The Fly?
I did.
Okay. I think that's asked and answered. Do you want to be a fly? Do you want to be a fly man? Part man, part fly.
That would be when they come with the technology. Do you want to be a fly?
Do you want to be a fly?
Do you want? Just asking. Do you want to eat your own vomit?
Mistakes
because
happen.
That's what you do.
Okay, you took it another place, but it's the same place. It is what happened in the movie.
It is.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, it's gross.
Anyway, so.
They might perfect it by then.
So, a billion miles away, this formation.
A billion miles further out than Pluto.
Further out than Pluto. Pluto.
Yes.
So, how far are we from Pluto?
We're 3 billion miles.
So, okay.
Four.
I'm at four now. Okay.
Yes. And it's traveling at 33,000 miles an hour. And so we're going to get even higher. The thing, they know the color of Ultima Thule now. It's red-ish. They think what that is, it's irradiated ice on the surface is why it turned red.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm sorry. This is cool. This is very cool.
Well, here's the thing is that I've seen the images of it, and I think I have one of those brains that goes, huh, I should probably learn more about that, but it also kind of freaks me out.
Well, it should.
Right? It's like the opposite of being claustrophobic. You know, like people who can't stand small spaces. Like for me, like the vastness of the universe freaks me out a little bit.
It's scary.
Does that make sense? Okay.
It's scary big. I mean, it is. It's massive. And we're still talking the neighborhood.
Like, it's forever.
Yeah.
I mean, and we don't know how to measure forever. Eternity. See, I just...
You just have to ask all those deep, hard questions. Really scaring us, you know?
I know. What's out there?
Although...
There's an although?
I was reading something the other day that was kind of funny. All the old predictions about what future technology would look like...
Right.
We've accomplished some of them already.
Didn't they say that like a lot of
Dick Tracy wristwatch?
Right.
Well, I'm wearing one right now.
There you go. Sliding doors on Star Trek.
But they don't make the
tablets.
Sound. I do that in my head every time I go through a door that opens automatically. I automatically go. I just have to.
Now, see, that's I've got to go with you somewhere to a sliding door to watch this happen.
Yeah, I do. My Janine is here. My
so you've been doing that since you were a kid. Podcast.
Yes,
it keeps
Star
you
Trek.
Young. Do you want
and I walk through. If I walk through one, and then I start moving really slowly and go.
Do you know what do you want to know what I do? I like to wave my hand like I'm a magician when the door's open for me. I do. I just go to the door and I just wave my hand and I'm like, ta-da!
I'll open
and
the
I walk
door
through them very elegantly. Yes, I do. And I just...
Or you walk around and see how close you have to get before the door will notice that you're there and open.
Exactly. Well, that's part of it. That's why I extend my arm to see if I can get to it before my body does.
But Roger, I got to tell you, the stuff we don't have. First
that's
of all,
David
we're supposed
Jennings.
To have.
That's David Jennings.
Oh, I'm sorry, David. I'm sorry.
Nothing to be sorry about.
It's all right.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Sorry.
Flying cars.
You want a flying car?
Where's the flying cars?
No. We can barely manage the road stuff. Please don't push
That's one
this.
Of my favorite scenes from one of my favorite shows, Better Off Ted, and they invent a jetpack. It says, imagine thousands of people flying here. And they're going, and they stop, and the two scientists look at each other and say, people are going to die, aren't they?
Exactly.
Do you remember the
sky.
Original jetpack that they came with? Was it the 1960s?
I remember that
was
thing.
Was it the 64 World's Fair where it made its debut?
That sounds about right. I remember they had it at Disneyland, because they didn't have Disney World then.
Right.
And I thought, that is awesome. And then the guy said what it takes to fly the thing, and has a range of about 30 seconds.
Oh, gosh.
So, you Oops. Know, it can get you like... Down the street.
Oopsie.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back in a few moments, we're going to talk to, I bet you have some thoughts about Alderman Burke's indictment. We're going to talk to Renato Mariotti and see what he thinks
great.
As a former federal prosecutor, about the wiretapping and the implications.
Why do they still talk on the phone?
Well, you'll have to ask Renato.
Okay.
All right, then. 312-981-7200. I did like the gallery that Alderman Burke joins in your cartoon.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. The Alderman Hall of Shame.
Hall of Shame. It's endless. It's kind of like it's kind of like space.
Not to talk between him and Cochran, the other alderman who's indicted.
There's
currently.
Another one.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
It whoever gets convicted first will be number 30.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
It's a race now. So who wants to be the odd number? 312-981-7200 to join this odd conversation on 720 WGN. Scott Santis doing a fist pump.
Bulls.
Oh, Bulls. You were doing
go Bulls.
Go Bulls. When the hockey season starts to fade a little bit for you in excitement, do you turn to basketball? Is that your thing?
No, I'm not. I don't play. Not a game I fell in love with.
I used to like basketball, especially in Chicago.
I bet you were good.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that later, because Renato Mariotti's on the line. He doesn't care how I played basketball. Did you play basketball, Renato?
You know, I really was. I was pretty bad at it, but I am a huge Bulls fan. I would rather be talking about the Bulls, no matter how bad the season is.
I was not good at basketball. I was a center on my team in grade school. I was the tallest at 5'6". I was the tallest, and my instructions.
Oh my God.
The instructions from my coach were: whatever you do, don't dribble, just pass or shoot.
Yes. I bet you were mean in the key, though. I bet
that's
you...
the problem. Was maybe I was a little aggressive on the court.
All
maybe
right.
I fouled out every single game.
Did you really?
Not every single game, but quite a few.
Wow.
I was very focused on the ball and winning. Okay, not what we're talking about. We're talking about Alderman Ed Burke.
Well, he kept his eye on the ball and winning. Apparently,
he is one of Chicago's most powerful figures. And Renato Mariotti was on Chicago Tonight, talking about the indictment, the federal charges, and tell us how this all unfolded, Renato. As far as you know.
Sure. Look, one thing that you definitely get the sense of from looking at the charges today is that this is a very significant investigation, And it looks to me like not all the shoes have dropped yet, but at the very least, this was a very significant undertaking by the FBI and the United States Attorney's Office, where I used to work. So, you know, first of all, there was highly publicized raids of Burke's offices, both his city office and his ward office, just weeks ago. And there was also reports at that point that that law enforcement approached, I think it was his chief of staff, trying to question him or flip him. You know, what we saw today were federal charges, criminal charges against Alderman Burke, charging him with attempted extortion. And essentially the extortion was some folks who owned fast food franchises in the Chicago area had one, and they needed some approvals from Alderman Burke, things that were under his control. And what he tried to do is get them to hire his law firm for property tax appeals in exchange for getting what he needed. And these folks were not happy about it, were disgusted by it, and they pushed back. And so Alderman Burke started putting, allegedly, according to the complaint, started putting a lot of pressure on them as a result. He had one employee of his city employee, he asked them, well, who did they use for their property taxes? He tried to make repeated appeals to them. And at some point, he had a ward employee who was taking action against them, making it hard for their restaurant to stay in business. And at one point, he says to the ward employee, there's a recorded conversation, and we'll get to that in a minute, where they talk about playing hardball with these folks. And ultimately what happens is the alleged victims eventually said to Burke, okay, fine, we'll hire you for property taxes. The problems magically went away at that point, and then they ultimately never hired Burke. So, a couple things that I'm mentioning in there. One is that there were wiretaps on the phone of Alderman Burke. That plays a big role in this. But this is an attempted extortion, just like, crimes that Robert Goyvis were convicted of ultimately were attempts to sell a Senate seat, not a completed crime.
So, yeah. Renata, I was just wondering. The raids came late in this investigation. They apparently had a lot of the evidence many months before. Why the late raids? What if you're a federal investigator? What are you looking for?
Great question. So when you have, we call them raids. When I was a federal prosecutor, we used to call them executing search warrants. So when you execute search warrants, that takes your investigation from covert to overt. So in other words, before those search warrants were executed, very few people knew that Alderman Burke was under federal investigation. Obviously, the feds knew. Maybe there was some whispering around City Hall, from some insiders. I don't know. But it was a very limited circle of knowledge. So the FBI could conduct interviews, could gather information in secret. Once you go overt and make yourself in the investigation known to the rest of the world, it changes the dynamic. First of all, once Burke knows that he's under investigation, he's going to hire lawyers, he's going to start preparing his defense, he's going to start having his lawyers reach out to potential witnesses, start gathering evidence, so on and so forth. Similarly, on the that's the con side, I would say, for the government. On the pro side, for the government, people may come to them seeking information. It's possible that people could be worried once there's a what we're calling a raid. Once there's a raid by the feds, might get some employees concerned. They may want to flip or something like that. And then also, obviously, there are things you can recover from the search warrants that you couldn't recover otherwise, and that's a reason to go overt. So it's a very important moment in an investigation, and it's planned and thought out very carefully by the government.
Now, the bail was set at $10,000, but only if he only has to pay that. It's a unsecured bond, which means that he'd have to pay it only if he fails to appear for court as required. Do you have any thoughts on that? A listener from this 870 is wondering if that has any significance.
Sure. So actually, that is very common. That's a pretty common level of bond federal court. You know, the way a lot of us are, I'm sure a lot of folks are familiar with how bond works in state court. And the way it works in federal court is very different. Typically, defendants are released on what this is called an own recognizance bond, where you don't put money up. That in a white collar case is very common. Now, if there's a violent crime or something where there's a danger to the public, or a real sense that the person might flee, for example, if they have ties to another country or they fled in the past or something like that, then that's different. But generally, particularly someone like Alderman Burke, who's got ties to the community and a lot of wealth and family here in the Chicago area, he's going to get a bond like the one here. That's pretty standard.
Renato, yes. David Jennings here. I got one question for you. I noticed in reading the terms of his bond being set, he has to get rid of all 23 firearms that he owns.
Yep.
Why would they include that? He's an ex-cop. He appears to be a stable guy. Why would they be interested in that?
Sure. That is a standard condition of pretrial release. So, I remember prosecuting a man who owned a very large food company, and that was a similar issue there. He had in one of his estates, he had hunting rifles and so on, and he was not happy. I think he was a skeet shooter in his spare time. He was not happy about giving up his firearms, but he had to do it anyway. That's just something that was a standard condition that was sought in every case. So, I'm more surprised that Alderman Burke owns 20-something firearms than I am at the fact that they sought to seize them as part of the pretrial. He'll get them back if he's ever released. Obviously, if he's convicted, he'll be a felon and he can't possess them.
Go ahead,
Sam. Oh, I just wanted to ask, Burke, when they had the raid or executed the warrant on his offices, he said on a number of interviews, listen, I've been investigated before, nothing's ever come of it. He's been a city councilman for 50 years. He's been head of the finance committee since I think the Eisenhower administration. Does he have a point? Clearly he's innocent until he's proven guilty. But from what you've seen from the indictment, how serious is this?
Well, this is very serious. I don't need to tell you that when the federal government, federal prosecutors charge you with a federal felony offense, that's serious business. Occasionally people beat those. And the statistics that are online, it's something like 96% of the time the prosecutors win and federal prosecutors. But, it's much lower in cases involving white collar defendants, that have well funded counsel, that are, high level counsel, who are also being charged with crimes that require, I would say, proof of their knowledge or intent. In other words, robbing a bank or dealing heroin, everyone knows those are crimes. If you're caught with heroin, you're screwed. If you're caught robbing a bank, you're in trouble. Okay, there's no, you weren't going skiing in that ski mask in the bank. But it's harder and more challenging at times to prove these intent based crimes. That's where I got to tell you the wiretaps come in here. I'm now a defense attorney. I was a prosecutor for over 9 years, federal prosecutor, and now I'm on the other side, and I have cases where I'm opposite of the U.S. Attorney's office now. And, I will tell you, if I saw the wiretap and some of that language and what was there, I would be very concerned. And I think Alderman Burke should be concerned. Now, there may be more to the picture that we don't know. But there's certainly, I would leave open that possibility. But on the other hand, there may also be, it certainly suggests that this is a pretty wide ranging investigation. There may be more to come from the government. And you also have to think about, Burke is an extraordinarily powerful and important person to the city of Chicago. There may be people who were not willing to come forward before who may come forward to the U.S. Attorney's office now. So with more information. So he has to be very concerned. This is the biggest challenge I think he's probably ever faced in his career.
We are talking to Renato Mariotti. He's a former federal prosecutor, an attorney, and legal analyst for CNN. And we were wondering as well, you know, as someone who's worked in the government, how does the shutdown affect the folks who have to do these kinds of investigations?
Sure. To the chagrin of some of my clients, the federal prosecutors continue to work even during the shutdown. So they're deemed essential employees. Essential employees, so they continue to work, but they don't get paid for now. So when I was a prosecutor, we had some shutdowns, and it was annoying because I wasn't getting money in. You have to pay your bills, so you often are putting off paying your bills and getting late fees or other things, you know, because you're waiting on the next paycheck to come in, which will eventually, you know, comes in a few weeks later, whenever that happens. So, but no, but they're still working. The FBI agents are still working. The federal prosecutors are still working. There are some staff at the attorney's office who aren't. There are people on the civil side who aren't, but they're fully functional, and the wheels of justice continue to turn.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Renato. And everyone can follow him on Twitter at Renato Mariotti. And you can also check out his podcast. It's On Topic. And he'll have another one in just a couple days, I think, right? Saturday, perhaps, or tomorrow?
That's right. Exactly.
Excellent. Have a great night, Renato. Thank you so much for sharing your insight and expertise with us.
Anytime.
Excellent. Listening to the Patty Vasquez Show on WGN Radio 720. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Joining me in studio is political cartoonist. Sorry, I jumped ahead to the next to our guest
you
on
did.
The line.
You're so excited.
Political cartoonist. Well, you are a comedian. You do it with your pencils.
Yes.
And your pen. Do you use pencils or pens? What do you use?
Actually, I use an iPad.
A pen?
iPad.
iPad?
Yeah, it's all digital.
You're a cartoonist with it's all of it?
Pretty much.
Lori Kilmartin's on the line with us. Are you disappointed to find out that the cartoonist with Chicago Tribune uses an iPad?
Yeah, you know what? I guess I have this image of a cartoonist from 30. Do you remember 30-something? And Polly Draper's character was dating a cartoonist, and he was always, like, hunched over, like, a drafting table.
Right.
Well, so that part is the hunching.
No.
They're still hunching.
But it's over a tablet?
Yes.
And so you have, like, a little...
Stylus. Pencil, the Apple pencil.
Okay, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. No, but today I actually drew in with a pencil and on paper, ink on paper. How quaint is that?
Now I feel better.
Okay.
All's right with the world. And speaking of the world, Lori Kilmartin just flew around the world to come back to Chicago and perform at Zany's in Rosemont.
And be on your show.
Well, mostly to live her life again. And well, you traveled with your kid to Japan?
Yeah. I took him. I don't like Christmas, and so I like to celebrate Christmas by being around people who don't celebrate Christmas. And so I took my kid with me, and he's 12, and it was very stressful. It was a lot of like, all right, we can go to an arcade, but you have to go with me to a tea ceremony. And like, he would get one activity a day, and I would get one activity a day.
That's a good.
But he always tried to weasel out of mine.
Okay, I was going to say that seemed like a good system, except for the weaseling part.
Then it
falls apart at that point.
Does she wonder where the presents are?
He got some presents there, and there's a few left under a tiny fake tree I have at the house that when I get back from this gig, we'll have like a second Christmas.
There you go. I mean, by the way, Scott was very excited. He was dancing when you said you're not a big fan of Christmas because he and I had a conversation. I actually took him to like the most Christmassy bar in Chicago to try to get him in the mood. And I think he was almost too annoyed with how much I was getting into it.
You really were. You're like a Christian scientist or something. It's just like, buy the machine.
I was just trying. But I know a lot of people like that, Lori, who...
But you know what? I wish I had that enthusiasm, and I love when people do it really well. It's so much. It's just too much. It just makes me want to hide. You know, maybe that's what Jesus wants. Maybe he wants me out of the spotlight and just hiding in a closet. We have to examine his motives. But yeah, I'm relieved every time it's over. It's never as good as you thought it was supposed to be. Like, there's never, I don't have children coming down, you know, the stairs and trying to catch Santa Claus. And I have one kid and he knows about Santa Claus. So it's just not, doesn't feel like anything.
That makes sense. I think, I mean, it's not that I sometimes I will myself into the Christmas mood, and but just for various reasons, and I do have some that aren't as fun as others. But this, I have to say, one of the things that jumped out at me this holiday season, aside from all the celebrating, was watching the Twitter war unfold over Louis C.K. Now, Scott, as a cartoonist, do you pick apart the way other cartoonists do their jobs?
Oh, of course.
Okay, but you don't have like online battles with them, do you?
Not online. No, it's always behind their back.
As it should be, right?
As the Lord intended.
So, Lori, I've been watching this sort of unfold, and my emotions have been all over the place on this because I know that you've kind of engaged with some people as far as criticizing Louis or whether or not. You know what? Who's to judge the way he makes a comeback, or whether or not he should? What were your thoughts on this leaked set?
Well, you know, people shouldn't be recording comedy sets.
Oh,
so it's a bad precedent, and I don't want to give anyone feeling like they can do that again. You know, now he's a dirtbag, and he's a sociopath. But that's a separate issue. And the fact, that it was such an interesting discussion of his material, because usually that kind of discussion is between comics in the back of the room while you're making fun of somebody who's being a hack on stage.
Right.
And now it's happening on Twitter, and people who've never been to a comedy club are weighing in on punching down. And it's like, oh, shut up. You know, there's so many hacks in comedy. Like there's, I've heard way worse material. That's, whatever he's doing, I don't really care. But the problem is that he's a predator. And I don't know how any woman can walk in a club, a female comic or a waitress or whatever, and see him and not just get kind of sick to your stomach. And that's not the feeling I want to have when I walk into a comedy club.
No, I think that makes complete sense. And, so he's so unabashed about it, too. And the clubs are, of course, they're going to support that because people are going to show up every night to see if Louis might pop on stage.
They're amoral, and they sell drinks for a living. They really, there's so few that care. There's so many good comedians now that it's not like there's a shortage. You don't need Louis. You know, there's a bajillion good comics now, and so I don't know. I totally understand why it's happening. But it's just a bummer.
That's such a great point. There are a lot of great comics, including Lori Kilmartin, who's at the Zanies in Rosemont. How was the show tonight?
It was fun. I mean, I feel insane right now. I flew 11 hours yesterday, and it might be like 4 in the afternoon for me or something. You know, my brain's all off. So I think I just got through the show tonight, and I told all the jokes right. And I how you do those sets where some of them where you're just like, I just need to lay down some railroad tracks right now, and then I will run a train over it this weekend. So I that's kind of how tonight felt.
Did you perform in Japan at all?
I did a set at a club. There's like a one-nighter at a beer hall called Titan. So I did a set there. And it was mostly in front of expats. It was fun. Yeah.
I was going to say there are, as soon as you asked that, I'm like, I bet you it was an expats show. Because a lot of comics, I know Jimmy Schubert's done shows in China. And a lot of guys travel around the world to places that you wouldn't think, oh, yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of stuff is closed that week, so it's not like you can pick up a set every night. And I didn't want to. I just wanted to do one, so I totally didn't lose, contact with being on stage. But, it was fun. It was good to get out and do a little stand-up.
And I was telling Scott the title of your book, Dead People Suck, and it made him laugh out loud. There it is.
yay.
What is the book about?
My dad died of lung cancer a couple years ago, and I was like, this is hilarious. So I wrote a book that's it's a funny comedic look at hospice and cancer and old people dying and losing a parent and grief and funerals and all that kind of stuff.
And we actually talked a little bit about death last night, and my guests in studio were getting uncomfortable. They're like, we don't, because people do really get uncomfortable, and it's hard when comics, try to broach that. We were talking about, I don't know if you saw the story in Washington State where they're going to make it legal for people to be composted.
I saw
What?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yes. Oh, come on.
Yeah, no, you can be composted, and so you can become part of, you know, be sort of just compost. I mean, not, like, when you die,
it's,
not...
Hey, it's not happening anyway. When it's in the body and the earth, that's what happens. It's happening. So,
right.
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny because the headline said people in Washington are excited to become compost. And I was like, nope. Nobody gets excited.
Well, I don't know. It's Washington. Maybe East Washington?
I don't know.
That could be.
Yakima, sure.
Sure.
I got to tell you. Oh, go ahead.
No, there might be some lady that has like maybe 18 urns full of ashes of her dead family, and she wants to finally compost, and she might be the excited one.
Right, she might be the one that's like, finally. Now I can, get the, I can clear the shell.
Back a couple generations, and she is ready to farm. So.
Do you get a chance to see the city when you're at Rosemont? I know that you know it's out in this, that great entertainment district, so there's not much of a reason to sort of venture too far out. Are you planning on coming into the city?
No. I'm so shell-shocked from my quote-unquote vacation that I'm just going to lay in bed and just attend the shows and then go back to bed. I just need to be alone and not have to manage somebody. I'm so excited to just be alone in a bed and watch HGTV.
That sounds amazing. I don't know if you've ever worked with April Macy. But you know when you see a comic
I love April.
I love April. And you know when you see a comic do a joke, you're like, how did I not write that? But she has this, that great line about she loves having a hotel room with two beds, one to sleep in and one to eat in.
Oh my God. Brilliant.
Yeah, I know. I see, it. Lori, I'm telling you, but that I'm with you when it comes to traveling because I have two boys and people are like, how do you, you know, spend time away from them? Isn't it painful? I'm like, room service.
Room service and just not having to respond to anyone's needs. It's so awesome.
I love that. I love that as well. Well, I hope you have a great week. And if you, I know I love having you in studio, but I'd love to have you on the phone again anytime. Talk about your book, talk about, and you're, you know, obviously one of the great Emmy nominated writers from the Conan show. Please check in with us again. I'll bug you on your Twitter DM. I hope you don't mind.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Patty.
Oh, no, thank you so much.
Scott.
Thank you.
Yay.
Go
see Lori Kilmartin at Zany's in Rosemont. She traveled 11 hours with her 12-year-old from Japan to get here. So you can certainly get to Rosemont to see her. I just stole that from your Twitter feed. Sorry.
It's the least you can do.
It's the least you can do. Thank you, Lori. Safe travels and have a great weekend.
You.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
Thank you. Follow her on Twitter. It's Lori Kilmartin, just one of the funniest people on the planet. Great show to tell you about. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show on WGN Radio 720. I'm live in the Allstate Skyline studio and a little bit sad, but understanding of why my good friend Skip Gerperis couldn't join us tonight. He's got a great show coming up this Sunday. Time travels. Skip Gerperis, time travels to the heroes of rock. Hey, Skip, how are you doing tonight? Are you feeling better, I hope?
I am feeling better. I'm getting over the cold, but I didn't want to push it tonight because I've got to be perfect by Sunday. So
yeah, you do. I'm sorry to tell you, but
I do.
Sorry.
So I didn't want to push it tonight, but thank you for being understanding and let me call in. And I'm so delighted to be on your show, live or not. You know, Patty and I go back to, I don't know, early 90s? You know, I don't know the exact time we started working together.
Mid-90s, yes.
Mid-90s, okay. We've done, 100 shows together, probably between Zany's and some private events and so on?
Easily about 100 shows, yep.
Yeah, maybe more, yeah.
You were always so meticulous about taking care of your instrument, which is your voice. And that was something that I learned from you. Like, you know, when I was younger, I was like, oh, what's he doing? And then now that, you know, once I started studying theater and I started to understand how important that is. So when you told me you weren't feeling great and you needed to protect that, I completely respect your need to do that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. That's my instrument. You know, the voice is, I do accompany myself with guitar.
Right.
And I don't use any pre-recorded tracks. I hate that stuff. I want it to all be live. But the focus is the voice. And I practiced about an hour tonight and actually wasn't too bad. So I'm feeling optimistic about it.
And not too bad in the sense that you're just trying to make sure that you've got everything functioning. Because when you get it, because that's the most terrifying thing. Have you had laryngitis? Because that's the worst feeling in the world for us.
I have not had actual laryngitis.
Really?
Just a little fuzzy throat from, you know, drainage and so on. But not actual laryngitis, knock on. I'm looking for my wood.
I'm so sorry.
There.
I've jinxed Skipper Paris. Everyone mark it. It'll be my fault.
No, I think I'm going to be really good by Sunday. Actually, I listened to myself tonight because nobody else was.
Oh, boy.
And I thought I sounded pretty darn good, so I'm feeling good. I just felt like, if I drive into the city and parking and whatever, I just didn't want to stress myself too much out. I hope you'll bring me back some time
of
when
course.
I can bring the guitar. And,
yes.
Now, I have to say this before we go to talk about my show, because even though it should always be about me, it isn't. And so let's talk about Patty.
No.
I don't know if your listeners know how beautiful you are.
Oh, stop it.
You know, a lot of people on the radio, they have faces for radio, right? Patty has a face for TV and films.
Oh, stop.
And
stop.
And she, you know what, it's, well, come on. I know it puts you in an awkward, but it's true. I saw you the other night at the Zany's 40th year anniversary, and I thought, you have not aged a bit.
Well,
so,
it's my
good
mom.
For you.
My parents had really, really, really good genes. One of the things that my mom and I laugh about is the fact that I can't, see, I'm going to turn this back around. I can't sing at all, but my dad was a wonderful singer. I just don't have an ear for it. And actually, Skip, you know what? This might work out really well when you come in studio. We have a segment. And you don't know this about me. We have a segment called Patty's Appalling Lack of Musical Knowledge.
Wow.
Yes. And if you play a song, I just can't name it, and I can't name the band I would say 80% of the time.
Wow.
Maybe more.
Well, I could help fill you in on that stuff. That's kind of although not so much current contemporary things.
No, this is pretty much across the board. I mean, like maybe I got some Bing Crosby, I got some Pat Benatar. That's my range. Maybe some AC/DC. Yeah.
Okay, that's quite an assortment there. That was Bing Crosby,
yes.
Benatar, and AC/DC.
Yeah, that's for some
wow.
reason that those are the three.
Those are the three that came to mind.
Yeah, those are the ones I'm going to be pretty good about, and not always. And sometimes I'll think it's an AC/DC song, and actually it's Queen. So that happens to me too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I won't quiz you on those.
Yes.
But my new show is kind of a rock history thing, really, and I do kind of travel back in time. I begin in 1947. With the blues, with the T-Bone Walker and Muddy Waters, and then just go through every phase of rock evolution through 1969 and the Woodstock Festival.
I love
and,
that. That's the primer that I need. I need that lesson.
We got to get you to come to one of my shows sometime. I do about 100 vocal impressions. You know, I was doing a little different act when I was working with Patty back in the day. It was just strictly a comedic impression act, and I still do a lot of impressions, although I kind of had to limit myself back then to ones that I could do physically as well as vocally.
Right.
And there's just, I can't do, you know, all the whole history of rock and roll and then resemble them physically.
Right.
I do my best to kind of get the physic, as far as the movements and so on, and that's it. But primarily, it's the voice. There's a handful where I do an actual visual impression, like Elvis and Buddy Holly and Paul McCartney and so on. But mostly, I try to get the voice right and the guitar style to match. And I've been sort of involved with rock and roll one way or another since 1964 when I first started performing.
Wow.
So yeah. 54 years professional showbiz, and I thought it's time to sort of give credit to all the people that created this music form. You know, it didn't just appear out of a vacuum. It was this evolution, and really the foundation is the blues. But there's also jazz and gospel and country, swing, boogie-woogie. And I go through those things and also different candidates for first true rock song. You know, at what point could you call it rock and roll? And I can't say that I have the definitive answer in the show. I think that's up for the audience to decide. But I give them you know, four or five different possibilities.
It's definitely not Bing Crosby. I can assure you of that. I know that right
well,
now.
No, I think you're right there.
Yes.
But you are the expert on Bing, so no. you're correct.
I'm just swinging on a star over here, you know.
You know, speaking of Bing, now he's got the number one selling
Christmas
single record of all time, White Christmas.
Right.
Do you know what the second biggest selling record of all time might be?
Of all time? Oh, no, there's no way.
Rock Around the Clock, Bill Haley and the Comets.
Really? I would not have guessed that.
Yes. That's at about 30 million, at least last time I checked. And I think White Christmas is about 50 million.
Amazing.
In sales.
I would have not. I would never have guessed that.
Right. That kind of surprised me. I knew it was popular. You know, and you know, when that first came out, it was not a big hit. A Rock Around the Clock, that is. A White Christmas probably was. But Rock Around the Clock, it just kind of laid there until it was featured in the movie The Blackboard Jungle with, and now I'm drawing a blank.
Is it Sidney Poitier?
No.
No.
Yes, he played a kid in it.
Right.
You're absolutely right. And I'm trying to think, Anne Francis was in it playing the wife, and for some reason I can't think of the, Glenn Ford.
Ah,
Glenn Ford plays the teacher who, and anyway, they featured Rock Around the Clock in it. And at that point, it went, you know, like today, it would be viral. You know, it just went crazy. And all over the world, it was just, you know, it really brought rock and roll into prominence. Before then, Big Joe Turner had a pretty big hit in 54 with Shake, Rattle, and Roll. But Rock Around the Clock was just huge. And,
I love that you're telling the story. And again, we're talking to Skip Gerparis. This Sunday, Skip Gerparis time travels to the heroes of rock, and it's going to be at the Metropolis at the Performing Arts Center. You can go to metropolisarts.com, and that's over there at 111 West Campbell Street. If you want to call the box office, it's 847-577-2121. Skip, I want to take a quick break here, and that show, by the way, is at 3 p.m. So it's such
Correct.
A great venue. I love that theater.
I think I've been there like maybe 20 years ago with Diana Lamo or something for something or other, but I haven't seen it since. Now everybody's telling me it's awesome, so I'm really looking forward to it.
It'll be a great show. Let me take a quick break here. We're going to come back. We're talking to Skip Gerparis. I wanted to introduce you to a friend of mine, too. Adam Selzer's waiting in the green room, and he knows more about music because Sarah knows more about music. So let's talk more music with Skip Gerparis. Again, you can go to metropolisarts.com for his show this Sunday, Skip Gerparis Time Travels to the Heroes of Rock. And we'll talk about that when we come back on 720 WGN.
You!
That's Skip Gerparis. I know that voice. Skip Gerparis on the line. Is that weird? Is that weird to hear?
Hi, Patty.
Hi, how you doing? That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird hearing me through a phone from the radio, but it's nice.
Kasara brought us back with that bump, and we're talking to Skip Gerparis this Sunday. Skip Gerparis time travels to the Heroes of Rock with 100 voices of powerhouse singer, guitarist, comedian, and impressionist. It's Skip Gerparis. You can take an unbelievably fun trip through rock's evolution of the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And I want to introduce you to my friend Adam Selzer, who's in studio. You're like my new friends, and my one is silver and one is gold.
Aw.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you're my friends.
I was never sure which was which.
Both. They're both very precious to me, you know what I'm saying.
Okay.
Skip, now this is your first time performing at the Metropolis in Arlington Heights.
I can recall, I think I did some kind of comedy fundraiser, and I remember Diana Lamo was there. This is, you know, she's been gone, 20 years.
2001,
so it had to be a while ago.
Yeah.
But I don't remember it very well, but I'm really looking forward to it. Everybody says it's just one of the best venues around.
The great thing is it's a great place to, you know, people can go see the show, maybe go for lunch or lunch before, dinner afterwards. And
good restaurants around.
There are some great restaurants, and I encourage everyone to go to metropolisarts.com to get ticket information. And so Skip, when you were young, I mean, were you just, you know, turning the radio off and like, you know what, I can pick it up from here, I'm just going to start singing for them? How did you develop this?
I guess so. I mean, I always just love music. I have very distinct of remembrances of songs from the radio when I was young. I guess the first one that I remember for sure would probably be How High the Moon from 1951, Les Paul and Mary Ford. And that one just kind of really just made an impression in my brain. And I was three. So, but I don't know. I just kind of had a natural knack for doing impressions. Never thought for an instant of doing it professionally. I always enjoyed watching impressionists on the old Ed Sullivan show, which is like before you were born and everything. But and then in junior college, people would ask, "Hey, do the Ed Sullivan or do this and that." And I said, "Oh, okay." And then I wound up, after 15 years of music, I decided to go back to school, and I studied theater at Lewis University in Romeoville. And
awesome.
One of the classes I took was Orl and Turk, which was taught by Keith White. And that I learned how to kind of play two different characters in one, you know, as a by myself,
right.
How to do it, how to look differently and so on. And I was working my way through school, just playing oldies music and contemporary, just a mix. I thought, you know, let's try something. Let's throw a little comedy into here and do a. I was already doing a little bit of vocal impression, and it just started. People started liking. Although at first I was playing at completely inappropriate places. Like I don't. Do you remember Lawrence of Oregano?
No, that's before, I don't.
Okay, I want to say Diversi and maybe Clark.
Okay.
Italian restaurant, and I was playing in the waiting room in front.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, and in the middle of, you know, in between songs and so on, they would, the Smith party, take it. So, but then when I started doing comedy, I would do this setup, and then, the Smith's party, ready to settle down right now, take your seat. And then I do the play. It was not quite as effective when you have party announcements in the middle of your joke. But so I knew I had to move someplace else, and then it was Roxy. The Roxy Nightclub was a great eclectic club. It was on two different locations on Fullerton. And then at one point I just it started getting better, and I knew John Caponera.
Oh my God. Okay. I didn't know this story. Go ahead.
Yes. And so John got me in 1984, got me a 15-minute showcase at Zany's.
Wow.
Just throw them in there. And
sure.
I think it was between the middle and the headliner, something like that.
Okay.
And I did my thing, and it just blew the roof off. You know, it just surprised me as much as everybody else. And the manager at that time got on the phone. It's called Rick Hewitt, and said, "Hey, we got something here." And, God, now I'm terrible. I can't remember his name. Before Bert.
Oh,
well,
I
actually was in between. It was Bert, and then Bert took off, I think, and worked Nashville for a while.
Okay.
And in the meantime, oh, that's terrible.
That's okay.
Sorry, whoever you are, I forgot your name. Sure, after listening, but great guy.
We'll take it to the comics on Facebook and find out if anyone remembers.
Or not Orlando, something like that. Not Orlando Ray.
No.
I had stories trying to follow him, too. That's a whole other story.
Oh, when he would host? Forget about it. Wow.
Oh, yeah. That,
we're talking about a dirty comic who was, he was the, yeah.
Actually, a great guy,
yes.
But the bluest comic you'd ever see, and you did not want to follow that.
Yes, I can't even give you a gentle example at all.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you couldn't talk about it on this show.
I love that. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, I love
it. And you and I both did pretty clean material. So to follow, it was like Donny Osmond trying to follow Black Sabbath,
right?
You know, trying to follow Orlando Ray. So
it made life interesting, and that's the great thing is that every audience was just such an opportunity, isn't it? You know, whether it's a comedy or doing this event that you're going to be performing at the Metropolis, it's just it's always just a new adventure. I think
it is. Every audience is a little different. Every venue is a little different, and you kind of roll with it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever way it sort of takes you. And I just get a big kick out of entertaining people. If I can go home and I know I made those people happy, you know, one way or another, they love the music, they love the humor, they love the history, whatever, that's what I live for.
Well, I can attest to the fact that I've watched you dazzle and make thousands and thousands of people laugh and applaud and have a great night. And and it's always been a pleasure to work with you. And I can't wait for you to be in studio. And I can't wait for folks to catch your show. Yes, please do. And then you can just stump me. We actually the pattern of the segment, Patty's Appalling Lack of Musical Knowledge, is we play about 10 seconds and people are like, oh, she's got to know this. So they have to bet whether or not I'll know the song. So you'll be surprised at how bad I am.
Are you going to do it after I'm off the air or what?
No.
When are you going to do it?
Not tonight, but I mean, when you're in studio, oh, okay. We'll do it one night when
yes,
you're,
I do
you're
wanna,
in studio.
I want to check that.
Yep.
I remember that your favorite group, now this is 20 years ago, the Indigo Girls.
Oh my God! Do you seriously still remember that?
Yeah, I actually listen when you talk, Patty. This might surprise you.
Yeah, but nobody remembers what somebody else's favorite band is. Yeah,
I thought, well, that's interesting.
I actually just had Emily on the show not too long ago by phone. It was great.
Really?
Yeah, how so cool. Crazy. Yeah, that's so much fun. Well, I've got to run to news, and I want to thank you so much, Skip, for joining us, and have a great show on Sunday. Again, everyone go to my, what were you saying? Go ahead. I don't want to cut you off. What were you saying?
No, go ahead. Oh. No, I'm just listening. I'm listening to you saying all the wonderful things about me. Why would I cut you off?
Go
see. There's no reason to cut you off.
Skip Gripperis time travels to the Heroes of Rock. Go to metropolisarts.com. It's in Arlington Heights. You're going to love the show. You're going to love Skip. And can't wait to have you in studio, my friend.
Thanks, Patty.
Thank you so much. Have a great night. Now go get some rest, will you? Please.
Okay, I will.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It is time now for our news. And when we come back, we'll check in with Adam Selzer. I cannot believe that Skip Gripperis remembered that I love and so Indigo Girls. Yes, that would be the other band that I know very well. This is a little closer to fine.
Yeah, well, stop looking for the source from some definitive then.
I should have banged my head against the wall. Yeah. I love Skip. We've been working together for such a long time. So I thank you everyone for indulging me in our little love fest. You know, when you're a comic and you're on the road for so many years, you develop these bonds and you can not see each other for a long time and then still have these great stories. Joining me in the studio, as I mentioned, one of my newer friends, Adam Selzer, but we've been through a lot of adventures.
4 or 5 years now.
Yeah. You know? Do you ever get to that point where you think I've made all the friends I'm going to make and you sort of feel a little bit of sadness and you realize, oh, no, wait a minute. No, there's so many new people to meet.
Every now and then, yeah. You know, I feel like I've climbed every mountain, I've conquered everything, and then I find something new.
Yeah. Sometimes if you give up, like I used to get nervous that I wasn't going to meet a lot of new people because I was on the road all the time and it's hard to meet people. And, you know, I'm just working with like two other comics and that's like my world for a week on the road.
Yeah.
And then we are dispersed. We're scattered around the country. But now, partly because I'm here at WGN, it gives me the opportunity to make new friends.
Yeah.
It's worked out really well. And so you do a lot of writing. So you spend a lot of time sort of in a solitary situation.
Yeah, I go to the coffee shop every morning.
Right. And are there people, the regulars there that know you or?
So it depends on which coffee shop I'm going to.
Okay.
Certain ones, we're all kind of on nodding acquaintance, but that's about it.
Right.
And others, everybody knows everybody.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing is I don't have any regular place where people know me.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to find a regular place where you, like when you walk in the door, someone makes your coffee the way you like it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, with me, I take my coffee black, so it's easy.
Oh, that is easy. So. Do you drink coffee, Kisara?
Nope.
Nope.
Sometimes I might do a cappuccino or a frappuccino, but
okay.
That's about it.
That's about all you'll get?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really
just for that little caffeine kick?
Not even that.
No?
I think it's more so just for the taste.
Okay.
Because it's sweet, something warm.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I'm not really a hot chocolate person, but I'll do a cappuccino.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you have a joint that you can go to that people know you? Coffee or food or bars? No?
You know, when I was, for my undergrad, it was Flaco's Tacos.
Flaco's Tacos knew you?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, because I'd be there every Monday for Margarita Monday and then every Tuesday for Taco Tuesday.
Isn't it good to have a joint?
Yeah, it was nice.
That was cool. Nice. Yeah. I still like that feeling.
Yeah, I've got familiar. I got a few of them.
Yeah.
A few are in my neighborhood where they all know me when I come in. The UPS store, we all know each other.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
At the UPS store?
The UPS store is like going into the Cheers sometimes.
Well, that's the thing. I need to just get out more and go to the same place more regularly. Obviously, it's the only way you're going to get people to know you. I mean, at the Gale Street Inn, I guess they kind of know me. I know George Karzis, and it's my great neighborhood joint. There's a great coffee shop near there called Weston's, too, that's really great. That's wonderful to go to. So I start popping in there more often so they know me.
Nice.
So they can have my coffee ready when I walk in. We were off the air. Adam and I were talking about this video that has, my son asked me if I'd seen Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez dancing. And I was like, what? And apparently there's somebody on Twitter who wanted to make fun of her or shame her for this video she made when she was in high school or maybe in her early 20s. Is that how old she was?
Looks like college. She's wearing a Boston University.
Okay. And she's dancing. She's having fun. And
she and her friends dance. I think what they're not telling you is it was filmed on a Sunday.
Oh, I see.
Dancing on Sunday is a gateway to playing cards.
So,
and the next thing you know, they're playing for money in a pinchback suit and listening to some big out-of-town Jasper here to tell them all about horse race gambling.
Oh, boy, look out. Are we doing something from the Music Man?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I could keep going, you know.
I know you could. That was really good. I can't remember the rest. I don't know the rest of the words. You blew my mind.
Not a wholesome trotting race, no, but a race where they sat down right on the horse. Like to see some stuck-up jockey boy sitting on Dan Patch. Makes a blood boil, I should say.
Right here in River City?
Right here. We are right on the river.
We are on the river. Yeah. So there's this video. How many times are people going to try to shame her, whether it's about her coat or about her...
That she enjoyed dancing in college.
Right. Or where she grew up, about her town. I can you remember anybody else where people have like tried to go after somebody? I guess there... Obviously, it depends on...
Well, remember when Obama ordered Dijon mustard on his hamburger?
And he wore... was he wearing a tan suit at the time?
Not at the time, no. Those were separate incidents.
Oh, boy.
Separate incidents of degrading the office by eating the wrong mustard.
I think there are people they try to catch in an unfavorable light.
It's part of the 24-hour news cycle. People always have to look for something.
It's exhausting. But yeah, so there is a viral video of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez dancing, and I just don't understand. The more that they go after her, it seems like the more popular she becomes.
Yeah,
right.
I think so. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I would want to be the target of that much scrutiny.
No.
Yeah.
No. At a certain point, it does kind of have to seem funny at a certain point. Like, they're going after that video.
Right. Well, she rolls with it pretty well.
Yeah.
And she has a lot of comebacks that seem like they're on point, especially like when McCaskill called her a shiny thing. That is, I don't know that if I was at 28, I would have had enough, sort of confidence to like slap back at somebody who's like, are you really calling a young woman a thing?
Yeah.
You know, because I'm getting attention. But a lot of the attention comes, it's sort of this cyclical thing. You know, where they make fun of her, they try to shame her, she comes back, she gets more followers. Yeah, it's fascinating to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, at this point, she still has a lot to prove. But she's a
freshman congressperson. I know. It's 28 years old. You know, I'm sure she's got a lot of growing to do. Anybody who gets elected at any age who hasn't been in government before is going to be drinking from the fire hose for
the first couple
of years.
Yeah.
That's just to be expected. You know, Paul Ryan was elected at about the same age, and people act like he was some kind of policy genius. And if you see him this week, make sure you tell him to get a job, you bum.
Oh, boy. He's going back home.
Going back home, yeah.
Well,
too close to our neighborhood.
Well,
did I tell you what I did one time?
What did you do
when I was on a Washington D.C. tour and I took a group of kids on the Capitol?
What did you do?
I managed to hold in a really big fart right outside of Paul Ryan's office. It was one of my proudest moments.
You know what I like about you? You're classy, Adam.
Yeah.
Adam Selzer, author of over 24 books.
Yep.
Holding in the gas. What do you eat in particular to make that happen?
I don't recall.
Yeah, don't let us know. You know what? I don't want to know the secret. I don't want to know the secret behind that. Oh, boy. Look out. And now, are you doing any tours? Any of the architecture tours and history tours?
Not right this second. It's wintertime. People just don't really sign up for walking tours in January.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, I wasn't sure if there was a desire for that.
There's a bit of a slowdown right now, but I'm working on a couple of new tours we'll be doing in the spring. There's going to be a version of my Graceland Cemetery tour called the No Rich White Guys Edition.
Okay.
Because I love my tour there, but it is kind of heavy on rich white guys. Partly because if you see a really massive monument, that's probably who it's going to turn out to be.
Right.
But yeah, there's so many other stories there, too.
I you know, have you had a chance to do the Pedway? I don't know if you've been down there.
A little bit I have,
it's
yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's you kind of have to feel your way around it.
I wish it was more interesting so you could give tours down there, just so people could stay warm.
People have done tours down there, like Pedway tours.
Yeah, but I don't know how, it's just kind of like, and here's this kind of tile.
Yeah.
Right?
Here's the part that looks like an airport.
Well, it's weird
because... It all kind of looks like an airport.
And then out of nowhere, you can catch the Blue Line.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre to me. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've got to learn how to use the Pedway. Because, sorry, have you gotten used? Do you use the Pedway?
I do use it. I am.
Are you well versed? Yeah.
Enough. I don't know. The one day I parked at what's the hotel right behind you there?
This is, oh, right behind me, this
that is
Swiss
the
Hotel.
Swiss Hotel.
Yeah, Swiss Hotel. I parked in there one night, and it definitely took me a while to find my way out and to get my way back in.
Well, because the sign says to 303, like, there isn't necessarily a definitive sign for 303 East Wacker.
Right.
Right? And going back to your car, it says Swiss Hotel, but then it's a different door.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then once you get in there, there's like no signs to get you to the right elevator.
No.
So I was just kind of like feeling my way out. And I was like, well, I hear people down there, and I don't think people should be going to this garage. It's very sketchy. So I'm going to hang a right. But it definitely took me a while. But going from like our building to the Radisson, I got that down packed.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Yeah. Well, the thing is that once you're underground, Adam, you and Kasari, you lose your sense of direction. David Jennings, have you tried the Pedway? Are you well versed in how to get around those things?
Enough.
Enough.
Let's put it this way.
Yes.
I know how to avoid having to take the long walk down the stairs to get to the Marianos.
Okay.
So I know where that is.
Wait,
so that's
Marianos?
Easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
right,
yeah, over
the street
in
from here.
East, yeah.
Yeah. What? There's a great Mexican restaurant in there too. I think Mescalina, something like that. Mescalina.
Yeah. There's a Mexican restaurant down there. I think there is a pizza place in there as well. I know how to get there.
Wow.
That's not a problem.
By the way, did you see the text we just got? 262 says white people are people too. I don't know what happened. Did we do anything that might suggest otherwise? Adam, you're a person, right?
Yeah, I believe.
All right.
I don't think so.
And you're white, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what anyone's putting it into question. That's the weirdest text I think I've ever seen.
I don't know.
Do we suggest that otherwise? Anyway, the Pedway.
I didn't hear a suggestion otherwise.
I guess they're mad
about the no rich white guys version of the tour.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. Come on the afternoon when I'll be doing all the same guys as they usually do.
Ah, I see. Well, 262, we believe in you. Mm. I just want to make sure you know that.
We'll clap our hands.
I believe in you. I have tried taking the Pedway west. Like you can take it all the way to City Hall and beyond. I just don't know how I made that happen. And I wasn't going to City Hall. I just was like, well, let's see where this goes. I had time.
I need to explore more often.
Yeah,
clearly.
But
yeah, I used to use it regularly going from I want to say Marshall Fields. From Marshall Fields.
Oh, yes.
Or the Lake Street Red Line Station.
Sure.
And from there, all the way over to the garage, because when I had a car, I used to park over there in that garage.
Oh, there you go.
The one at Randolph.
Okay.
But yeah, you can walk all the way. You can go to the Metro Electric Line Station.
Mm-hmm.
You can go up to City Hall, the, what's the oh, not the Cook County building, the...
The Illinois State Center?
I don't know if it goes all the way to the Thompson Center.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure about that, but yeah, you can get past City Hall with that. It's great during the winter.
Yeah. Well, I agree. It is great during the winter. I just don't know that I'll ever get my bearings down there, because like I said...
Oh, you will. Just, it's practice.
I know.
Worry about it.
The only way I know where I'm going in Chicago is that I simply have to know which way the lake is.
Same.
Mm. Right?
My mom taught me.
As long as I know where the lake is.
Remember, the lake is always east.
Exactly, but if I'm in the tunnel...
And if you know that, you know everything you need to know.
Yeah, but when you're in a tunnel, you don't really know where the lake is anymore.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Kind of down there.
When you walk out of 225 North Michigan, the building with the big red awning on the front,
okay.
If you go in through there, once you get on past the Dunkin' Donuts on the overpass and you make the right turn... You're facing east.
You already lost me.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm lost already.
Okay. Never mind.
Here, you know what? Let me go. I'm going to go run check right now. Let me go look for Kasara. She's lost at the Dunkin' Donuts. Get me something. Get me some munchkins, will you? More after
it's
this.
Closed already.
I know. More after this on 720 WTN. WGN Radio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Oh, I'm going to say it's Phil Collins. See, I get very excited
very
when
nice.
I know a song.
Nice. Do you know the title?
Take Me Home.
There you go.
Yes. Fortunately.
Nice. Very nice. Well, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Same. Me
well,
too.
It's because he just said it. That's I just said the last thing I heard. Just knew that it was Phil Collins. Studio. It was not that one. right? No. Hi, Adam Selzer.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Was Susu Studio Phil Collins or Genesis?
Uh-oh. Don't get... But he was in Genesis.
Right.
Okay. So I'm all
so
right.
The difference is kind of academic.
We're going to give Patty the note.
Yeah.
I was going to give her that just for her to keep it.
Just let me have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my 20% that I get right. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
We're going to let her have it.
We are hanging out.
Phil Collins, by the way.
Susu Studio is...
Yep. Okay.
All right. I never know when to stop saying Susu Studio. It's just...
Susu Studio.
Oh, there it is.
There you go.
I was just asking Adam what day it was. Is everybody still doing that? I don't know what day it is when these holiday weeks...
Today's
where,
Thursday, right?
Thursday the 3rd.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Why not make it... Just make it simple. New Year's Day.
Okay.
Starting at midnight when it's official, the day. And you can be done with it.
Okay.
Right? No guilt.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Wait, do what?
Yeah.
You lost us all.
No, I definitely don't know what day it is.
Happy New Year.
From
midnight on New Year's Day until 12:01 a.m. on the 1st. Then you're done.
No, I agree with that. The problem I'm having is because of the holiday, right? Because Monday and Tuesday were pretty much holidays for a lot of people.
Yeah.
This I'm having trouble gauging the day of the week.
Right.
But that's just me, I think. Is it?
No, it's,
It will shortly be Friday.
Yes, Friday's a good reset. I think Saturday's actually the reset for me. You know.
I think it'll go back to normal for most people on Monday.
Yeah, because a lot of people are... Well, especially when the kids go back to school, and I know some people have taken vacation all the way through the end of this week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, you're right. Monday will be the day everyone sort of gets their act back together. Although, I've kind of been lounging in it. I binge-watched something, all your fault, by the way. I think it's your fault.
What'd you watch?
Dairy Girls. It's Adam's fault.
That'll be my fault, yeah.
Oh, my God. So funny. We are going to feature that tomorrow night with Susan Dannenberger from Binge and Uncork. She's going to pair wine with that. Ooh. And Dairy Girls is the funniest thing I have seen in a long time. And man, can they cuss.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're offended by swearing, these girls who grew up in the 1990s in Northern Ireland, they're Catholics living in Northern Ireland. All go to all girls. Oh, my God. James cracks me up. Kid from London.
Yeah, the nun, I think, is about the funniest character.
She's brilliant. She's absolutely brilliant. This is a show I didn't know I needed in my life.
Yeah.
It is the best.
Never would have occurred to me I needed
it. No. How did you stumble across it?
It just came up on Netflix.
Yeah.
And the 30-second trailer sounded funny enough. So I'll watch a couple minutes.
Right.
And if you're offended by swearing, you'll probably still be okay as you won't understand it.
Right, because
it's in such a thick accent.
Very thick accent.
There's a lot. I've watched it through twice now, and I still think there's probably stuff that's going over my head. I had to Google stuff about the IRA and the troubles and stuff. I knew, you know, some of the basics, but like they say, there's a political element, there's a religious element, and I think if you're not there, it's really hard to get your head around.
Well, and even they're kind of struggling. Oh my gosh, when the kids from Chernobyl...
From the Ukraine, they're trying to explain it to them, yeah.
So funny. Right, they're like, it's the same religion.
Right.
It's the same religion.
Different flavors of the same religion. You just like to fight each other.
Exactly. One of the girls is like, oh, it is.
You're right.
You're right. And then, I mean, everything about it. I can't tell you who my favorite character is because it changes every episode.
Yeah.
And even in the same episode, I change my mind. Like, the grandfather cracks me up.
Right.
And the husband that he hates. That he hates his daughter's husband.
Yeah.
He's like, why don't you leave my daughter alone? We've been married for 18 years.
Yeah.
Okay, I shouldn't tell you the whole series.
Right. We could just sit here trading lines from it all day, but it's the dialogue is hilarious. The general farce construction, the, you know, opening doors, closing doors.
Yes.
And that kind of classic comedy is all built into it perfectly, too.
And especially like following the working class sort of a tone of this neighborhood, and then having that contrasted with the rich girl, you know, of course, the uptight prefect. But so anyway, it's Dairy Girls. It's on Netflix. It's only 6 1-half-hour episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So I've pretty much loved everything you've told me to watch. Cobra Kai, you got me hooked. By the way, Joey Lawrence and Danny are going to be at the C2E2.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get them as guests, at least one of them. So we've got... Dairy Girls was only 6 episodes, half-hour episodes. The one I got into and then I just kind of stopped watching was, I think, the end of the serial killer kid. The one, I like that one. I think it's got a swear word in it, doesn't it?
The one with the creek?
I think so.
Okay, yeah, I haven't seen that one yet.
There was one, I thought it was the...
Oh, the end of the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one I watched a few episodes and it got too dark for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you watch the whole series?
I did, yeah. I had a good time with that one.
Yeah, that one got a little bit rough. Now, do you watch any of the documentaries? Oh, let me take a break here and I want to find out if you watch any documentaries. I need to get more tips from Adam Selzer because I just love the show that you tell me about so far. 312. There you go. 312-981-7200. Did you binge watch anything over the break? Tell me. I need a new show to watch because I'm done with Dairy Girls. We'll be back after this. No, I don't know. See? Here we go. I don't know this song. I mean, I know the song and I like it and I'll dance to it. Hoorah, hoorah.
Yeah, you know the lyrics.
I know, that's the lyrics.
I mean,
not, I can't.
Part of the lyrics.
Please help me out.
This is Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Is he making something up?
No, he's right.
Okay. That doesn't ring any bells.
They're not well known for any other songs.
They're okay. Really not.
Maybe more so in the UK or something.
All right. Possibly. Well, thank you very much. See, now, Dexy Midnight Runners.
Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Dexy's Midnight Runners. Yeah. Possessive. Yeah. Dexy's.
D-E-X-Y.
Oh, that wasn't the way I was spelling it in my head.
Not me neither.
I also learned, these are the two songs I learned. So that, what's the name of that song, though?
That is Come On Eileen.
Okay. Yeah. Of course it is. Go. Come On Eileen. So Come On Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners. And got Semisonic it. Does Closing Time. Ooh. I'm going to hold on to those. That's what I've learned in the last week.
I mean, learn something new every day.
Sad. It is the saddest thing. Well, what I do enjoy, I guess I'm better with movies and television. I was asking Adam Selzer what he's been binging because he got me hooked on Cobra Kai, Dairy Girls. I didn't finish End of the World. I liked it. I thought it was well done, but yeah. It got a little too dark for me. I got too uncomfortable. Both of us love The Haunting of Hill House, mm-hmm. One of my favorite things that came out this year. And so we have some listeners who are texting in some of their other favorite things. One texter from the 501 says, a series of Unfortunate Events starring Neil Patrick Harris on Netflix. I've only watched the first episode, which introduces the characters very well. It's Kathy in Arkansas. Oh, and she also liked Christmas Chronicles movie, which was the Kurt Russell movie. I think Nick liked that too. I haven't seen it. But you're not going to see it now because Christmas
definitely
is
definitely not going to see it now. I definitely wasn't going to see it last month either.
It didn't draw you in.
No, Christmas movies in general do not draw
All right.
me in.
I bet you've seen this series, Mindhunter.
I have not.
Really?
People keep telling me about it.
Interesting that you haven't seen that one. I think you'll like
it.
I
know it deals with serial killers and stuff.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I'd be curious to see if you like it. Yeah, it's the kind of the beginning
That's what I'm kind of afraid of. Yeah, as people, you know, I write books about serial killers and stuff, but not like 1970s guys. I like the antique ones.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And this will probably be the only season that I watch of this because it does start to get a little bit, it's gritty. It's basically the beginning of the FBI's behavioral analysis unit.
Yeah.
And which now we know is also the series, the Criminal Minds is based on the same idea, but this goes back to the famous, murders of the... You're right. Now I got the chills just thinking about it. I kind of just would go in and out of watching it. I didn't necessarily... I was interested by the style of it.
Yeah.
Not necessarily all the content of it, if that makes any sense.
Right.
Yeah. Well, listener from the 847 wants to join us. Hey, Bill, how are you doing tonight?
Good. Tired at the end of a very long drive.
Oh, boy. Where are you driving?
And I'm in... Well, I left Chicago at 10 this morning, dropped my son off at Fort Wood in Missouri, and I'm almost back home.
So your son's in the military?
Yeah, he's just finishing up boot camp.
Oh, wow. Congratulations, Pops.
Yeah, no, he's it's all good. He's enjoying it, and it's all good.
That's exciting. Did he always want to join the military?
Yeah, he's always kind of... Like, he's got 3 years of college, and he joined because it helps paying the bills.
Okay.
And he's already he's 21, he's already a fireman.
Oh,
He's an EMT. So, yeah, he's always been in, you know, that mindset. So, yep, he's... Loving where he's at.
Staying busy. Well, you must be very proud. What series do you recommend, Bill? Yeah.
Well, it was funny when you made the comment, a series that you like to fall asleep to.
Yes.
And that's a good thing, which I understand.
Right.
It's a series called Doc Martin.
Okay.
And I first caught it on Channel 11, and then I noticed it was on Netflix. And it's a kind of it's a British show, and it's a fish out of water. He's a super intelligent doctor, surgeon, who develops a blood phobia. So he moves to a small fishing village town to be their GP.
Okay.
And, you know, everybody in town just irritates him. But then it also turns into a wonderful love story with the school head teacher, and it's I think it's just a great, really smart, warm, funny show.
That sounds fantastic. My mom, I think, watches that show. I remember, it was on PBS, so I'll have to check that out on Netflix. Thank you for the recommendation.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
All right.
That sounds like a great story, a doctor who develops a phobia of blood. Oh, yeah. No. Well, be safe. Be safe, Bill. Thank you so much for calling and giving us that suggestion. I love that. Have a good night.
You too.
You know what? Hold on a second, Bill. Bill, can you do me a favor? Bill,
yeah.
Do me a favor. Hold on the line, and we're going to send out a Lou Malnati's gift card for that recommendation.
Oh!
Yeah, hold on.
Oh, how super nice of you guys.
Well,
thanks.
You just drove back from dropping off your kid at boot camp, but the least we can do is send you a pizza. Maybe when he's back in town.
Awesome.
Yep. You can share a pizza on us. LouMalnati's.com to find out more about the greatest pizza in Chicago and their over 42 Chicagoland locations. And why not? I got pizzas to give away. I'm going to give a pizza to a military dad. The 708, outside the fact Netflix's Bodyguard plays more like a heavy-handed commercial for PTSD counseling with a little action and drama sprinkled throughout. It's a super great series. I enjoyed Bodyguard.
Yeah, haven't seen that one.
That one, I like that one too. And it doesn't hurt that the guy who plays Bodyguard is easy on the eyes.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest with you.
All right.
Has anyone found a device that they can play the new episode, Black Mirror on?
Where you can choose the different endings? I have not. Is there a specific?
Apparently, I can't do it using my Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it using my TiVo. I haven't tried it on my computer yet. But I'm like, well, what do you mean a device that will play it? Why did you put it out this way?
Right.
So that we have to jump through hoops so we can watch it. Because Black Mirror can be pretty interesting.
Trying to torture people. That's not right.
One of the best episodes of that. Have you ever watched it?
I was telling you that I watched the one where the woman's husband dies, and so she wants to keep him alive by
There's another episode where a guy decides he is going to clean up the gossips in society by using artificial bees. You should watch that one.
Oh dear.
It gets as gross. It having an artificial bee kill you can be interesting.
Okay.
I'm going
to
tell you.
I don't know if interesting is a good way to define something like that.
It is. It is.
So is it Black Mirror, choose your own ending? Yeah, choose your own adventure.
It has multiple endings.
Let's see.
Bandersnatch.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the episode. And I really do want to watch it, but so far I don't have a device I can watch it on.
It's really good.
Is it on your own on TV?
On Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
No, I know, but what do you mean by device? Like, I have a deep tube television, so I assume that I would just assume I can't do anything.
I've got a flat screen, too, and I can't watch it. I tried using it with my TiVo box. I tried watching it with the Apple TV thing. And it tells me that you don't have a device that can play it. We're sorry.
Yeah, it does say that it has to be a newer device.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've watched it on an older TV. All I needed was the remote.
Let's see. How do I find it on the site? Let me see if I can help anybody out. Well, let me take a look and see if there's what you need. But yeah, it looks like you need to have but it's not the TV, it's the device that you're using.
Oh.
Right? So what you're watching it through.
All right. Gotcha.
So we have to find out that mystery.
Through the TV.
So you have a smart TV?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a newer device probably.
All right. Makes sense. Okay.
All right, you win the technology.
A
there you go. More after this on 720 WGN. Cup. know the song. Oh, who sings this?
No idea who sings this.
What was that? You have no idea who sings this either?
No idea.
Okay, I feel better then. Kassara?
The Foundations.
Mm-mm. I believe you. Just that was that would not be. I wouldn't be like, oh, of course, no. Oh, the Foundations. Okay,
okay.
Let me write that down. Foundation is the name. Is this name of the song Buttercup?
Build Me Up, Buttercup.
Oh, it's gonna do all the words.
What?
Too?
Close enough, though. I mean, if you just search Buttercup, I'm sure it will pop up.
Exactly. All right, I'm trying to solve this Bandersnatch. Oh wait, David, is David Jennings coming into this? He can come in here if he wants.
David came David. In here to let me know
what.
What?
What? Can you come in here, David? Come no. No. Come on in here. I'm trying to solve this. I'm trying to solve this mystery of
why
how to
he
watch.
Walk over like a kid that just got yelled at. Like,
why are you shaking your head at us?
Because we didn't know the Foundations.
Come sit down with us.
It used to be in a band that did a goth cover.
Hi, David. Anything. What was that?
I wasn't coming in to do anything. I was just going to suggest that.
Oh.
She.
Yes.
Have a song. For her next.
Oh, you can go. Yeah, you can recommend one before you go because I'm trying to solve this mystery of how to watch. Wait a minute, I can't see you. As
if your device has an HDMI cord, you can plug in a laptop.
Yes, do you have an HDMI port?
Yeah.
Okay, because it says
I was also doing another online search. I think it's Lifehack.
That's what I'm on. I'm on Lifehack.
Yeah, and it's you mirror the computer using your Apple TV.
With your Mac.
So,
right.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So, may you
so
give that a shot?
I might be able to watch it now.
All right. Now we want to know, are you here tomorrow?
Yes.
So, if you have a chance, let us know how this turns out.
Fantastic.
I think
I
can do that.
Can't wait to see what you guys think of the movie.
So, did you go back and watch it and pick a different adventure?
So, I did it once with friends.
Okay.
And the friends that I watched it with, they had already done it themselves, so they were like trying to test out different theories and what could work. And then myself and my mother did it together, and like there's certain avenues, like once you take them you're forced to go back
right
and choose again, but it is good overall. I do enjoy it. I will do it again though.
Okay.
To choose my own fate.
You know, the whole point of Black Mirror is looking at how tech can go wrong.
Absolutely wrong.
Really badly,
but
horribly wrong.
It feels like it's already happening.
There's one in Black Mirror. I believe it's season 3, episode 4, and it's called the Junipero Disco. That one's a really, really cute.
The island where two women meet.
Yeah, with the two.
Okay.
Women, yes.
That there is another one where the prime minister has to do something with a pig. You remember that one?
What is happening?
Yes,
I feel like you're making things up.
One, right?
No, we're not making it up.
We're not.
No.
We're not making these
no.
Up.
There is a threat made against the country.
Okay.
And what the person who's making the threat wants, and it's a legitimate threat,
sure,
is that the prime minister has to do something with a pig.
Okay. I can imagine.
Yes. No, yeah. You can't imagine.
Oh, no.
It's
oh,
extreme.
You cannot. It is wild.
Oh, boy.
But I think that's season 1, episode 1. Like,
I might have been. And there is another episode that is based on what happens if your whole ability to move ahead in society is based on how high you score on social media.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
That about sums it up for me.
If you get this job? Can you get this promotion?
Yeah.
Can you get a raise?
But there's one episode of Black Mirror that people are beginning to feel like China is starting to almost mirror it, to where I think it's the episode you're talking about where you're like given a score based on how good of a person you are. China is now
that's
doing
it.
That.
Yeah.
So we're like,
they've also expanded their ability to do surveillance where now they can actually find you by how you walk.
Oh, boy. That's too much. That's too intense. So you're saying this is not a show I can fall asleep to?
No.
No.
You definitely won't.
And the China thing, that's a true example of live entertainment without the 2-drink minimum because you are the entertainment.
Yeah, no, yeah. I can't.
Whether you like it or not.
Oh, you're freaking me out, man.
It's good.
Isn't it wonderful? Good.
No, I'm not. I can't get into Black Mirror.
Try it.
I know.
Try a few episodes.
You can.
Are you a Black Mirror fan?
I have not watched Black Mirror,
see,
but now I'm thinking I should.
All right. I think, yeah. People.
It's a little out there, but it's not too far out. That.
Yeah, the social media thing sounds a little too familiar to my former life as a young adult novelist.
Right.
What's the Junipero Disco?
The scary thing is that so many people don't understand that once you do something, it's there forever.
Right. Yeah.
They don't get the idea that, oh, I'll do this video of my boyfriend and I, or right. my girlfriend and I, doing what mature adults do. Well, once it's out,
right.
you can't take it back.
Right.
It's permanent.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you never know where that's going to show up.
That's the hard part. Right. How does that manifest?
Companies check your social media pages and hiring now.
Exactly.
Which is something that they never used to do.
Right.
Well, it's there. And it can give people a good sense of who you are. Want to go to a good college? Wonder what they'll find in your social media.
See,
pages.
That's the thing is that Griffin doesn't have any. He has no. I don't think he has a footprint out there. He doesn't have a Twitter account or Facebook. He's 15.
That's probably not a bad thing.
Yeah, you know,
well, there's a balance though. What were you saying?
I used to go into schools and be like, guess what, kids? There is no such thing as a permanent record. They're just trying to scare you. It's like, yeah, there is now.
There is now.
Yes, there is. Yeah,
pull it out yourself.
It's true. Well, isn't there a negative side to having no social media footprint? Like they're like, well, what's wrong with you? I think that's going to change. I think as more people start to withdraw from social media and close down their accounts, and you know, I think that's
I think it depends.
Are you seeing a lot of people
into.
Pulling on dumping their Facebook accounts?
Not a lot of people.
No, not a lot
over the stuff that they've pulled.
Right.
You know. So I don't know.
I don't know either.
We have we're great at acting when it hits us right between the eyes.
Right.
But. When you see the avalanche starting, we have a tendency to go, oh, look at the avalanche.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's headed my way.
Well, the thing is, the idea that it makes any difference. There's a comedian named Mike Merrifield who would just always put like what shows he was doing, where he was going to be, and he stopped doing it a couple months ago, and he did an update this week. He goes, you know what? Since I stopped posting my shows, I have the ticket sales have not changed at all. So it's like it wasn't making an impact. And I think that's true for comics. It's you know, on Facebook, it's kind of hard to do. If you get Sarah, can you turn your mic off in there? I've got both mics on. I'm hearing your conversation.
I have both of them off. I saw what you were doing, but they're both off up here.
That's so weird because I could hear your conversation. There it is. I always sound crazy when I know it's like a fidgety little button.
You hear another voice.
Did you hear me twitching?
It's probably just the Russians or something.
No, I heard you twitching, but like, you know how it lights up funny? Mine aren't lighting up any different whatsoever.
Right. No, that's when you see me do that, I'm like, I can hear you in stereo. So that's why I had to switch like this. But once David came in there and started talking to you, I'm like, oh no, I'm hearing this conversation too.
Sorry about that.
Pulling back the curtain.
You heard what I was trying to pull.
I didn't hear the song. No, I did not hear this. And I probably wouldn't recognize it anyway. So, but we'll find out what song that is. And I didn't give you a chance. Adam, was there another series that you've been watching?
Good Place over and over and over again.
You're watching Good Place?
I've just watched the whole series through several times now. I can put on any episode anytime.
How many seasons are there now?
Two and a half.
So,
and they're short seasons too. So it's only like 30 total episodes.
People love that series. Yeah. Sarah, are you watching that
one? I'm still watching it. I started it last week. Just haven't finished it yet, but I do like it.
I think it gets better and better, I think.
Here's the 312 asks, listening to you trying to figure out how to watch TV is why I only listen to the radio and WGN. Why can't you just plug a TV and turn it on anymore? That's an interesting question. There's actually an article I was going to talk about. I'll talk about it after the news, that there are so many people that are cutting the cords when it comes to cable and just going to streaming. And Adam was saying that you mostly...
Just news. Only if something's really breaking and I want to follow it in real time.
Yeah. I'm thinking about cutting the cord because I have Hulu, I have Netflix, and I have Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I thought about it once, but when I called up the cable company and said, "Well, here's what I go. Well, you know, we're also your internet company, and if you don't get the bundle package, you don't get the fastest internet." It ended up being cheaper actually to keep the landline phone and the cable than it would have been to cut.
They
the
won't
cord.
Let you go, Casera. So,
yeah,
I know.
They won't.
They're
let
not
going to
do it.
They're not going to let you go. Let's go to the news. 312-981-7200 to join our show anytime. 312-981-7200 to call or text. Am I being tested on this one too?
Yeah.
Nope.
Yep.
Good though.
Nothing? You don't know who this is?
Adam?
No.
No?
See? You don't either?
There you go. I feel better. And Adam knows more music than I do.
Marvin Gaye.
Oh, no. I shouldn't know that. So that one right there. Do you see? Now that's one where I go, oh, yeah, I should have known that. But I appreciate that moment. I should know that. And Paul's like, see, this is why you need to know music, is it's embarrassing to not go, oh, Marvin Gaye.
I'm glad I did not bet money on that. I thought for sure you were going to have it. I really did.
I was hoping you were going to have it too. I wasn't sure, but I figured that's one you would have heard along the way.
I just have a gap in my brain. There's just this, whatever part of your brain that's supposed to absorb the information around music, whether it's what the lyrics are, what the song title is, or the musician. It's not a good sponge. It's just,
I'm hurt. I'm just hurt.
I'm sorry.
Just hurt. It's okay. All right.
The 630, we're talking about cutting the cord and how you are, how are you watching stuff? Are you streaming? Are you still going old school with I have satellite. Some people still have cable. The 630 says we have old school 60s bow tie antennas and they work great for all local channels for free. In our house, actually, my mom has antenna on one of her TV or a couple of her TVs, and there's certain channels she can't get. Like there's channel 2 is sort of this wonky no man's land of trying to find that channel.
Yeah, I tried antenna for a little while, but it's based on where you live. Depending on where the towers were, there was one of them that I just couldn't get.
Right. Yeah, that's you're too close.
Yes, well, we're close to downtown. The signals are all blocked by large buildings or the lake.
Or
something like that. I'm sleepy and don't remember all the signs.
It's all right. The 331 says, hey, Patty, start with the episode about the bees. My son got me into Black Mirror. Many episodes are a social commentary and are very interesting. I've watched about a handful and have liked them all so far. Thank you, 331. Now, did you watch Bird Box?
I have not watched Bird Box.
Are you going to resist it because of the cultural phenomenon?
Possibly. I've just seen so many people complain about it and people complaining about people complaining about it. We just got done with Baby It's Cold Outside and the same stuff.
Oh, boy. That's
and
right.
I just wanted... I can't bring myself to care enough.
Save your time.
It's fine. I mean, it's now at this point, it's more to see what everyone's complaining about.
Yeah.
Right? It's not even necessarily...
At this point, yeah.
Yeah, you may as well skip it. The other thing I wanted to talk about tonight, now you have driven for some of the cars, like the Uber and Lyft. Mm-hmm. Now, I just tried DoorDash, which is kind of like Grubhub, but it's another food delivery system.
Right.
Now, they're going to partner with GM in order to have... driverless cars deliver your...
It's a whole new way to get into traffic accidents.
It really... I don't understand the idea. First of all, I'm not a fan of the idea of driverless cars.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like... it's not just an accident waiting to happen. There have been accidents.
Right.
Right?
Possibly future generations will think we're hilarious for saying that.
Of course. But, well, then how does it work with your food delivery? They just put it in the car and then you go out and get it out of the car?
Well, that's pointless. I wanted to bring it to my door if it's cold outside.
Right.
This is what I'm saying. Yep, I have to agree with that. See, that's part of the whole thing.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole point is not putting on pants, right?
I mean, I don't know about the pants part. Maybe the shoes.
Right, maybe not shoes. Yeah, shoes, definitely.
Maybe shoes.
Not running out to the... I mean, how else would that work?
I don't want to tip the invisible person either, you know?
Well, I guess
you wouldn't have to.
You wouldn't have to.
Yeah.
Or would you do gratuity for the person that bags it?
No. It's an easy job.
Well, it's probably already added by default. Who's getting that money if it's a driverless car? Well,
exactly. Yeah.
Where's it all going?
I am with you. I don't know that I would. This is very strange. So the self-driving
Follow
unit of General
money.
General Motors is going to test a food delivery system in San Francisco using autonomous vehicles, which will start early this year. And I don't really know how that's going to work at all. They don't have a license to operate the ride-sharing service, so the vehicles are only being used by the company's there'll be somebody in the car, but they're not driving it?
What is the purpose of them being in the car?
So you can tip them. So they can bring it up to you. And how will they spend the rest of their time? Just like
sitting there,
riding around, checking their phones?
Well, I think they also want to, they're using DoorDash. So partnering with a company gives them a way to sort of offset some of their costs, right? So they can sort of prove the value of developing this driverless car program that they've got. Yeah.
So the ride along people can like do paperwork and stuff.
Right. I don't know.
No, I'm still not with it.
Yeah, I'm not with... I won't want driverless cars. I'm not.
Somebody's going to have to crack the code there.
Right, I think. Well, and that's the other thing too is, wouldn't you worry about it? There, everything
malfunctioning or something,
or someone hacking it.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, there'd be people who've driven off of you know, bridges because they were paying too much attention to their GPS and it said take a left here, and they, you know,
which I don't know if you, if you're listening to GPS and you're on a bridge,
right,
and you go left. I mean,
but if it's driverless, isn't the car then going to go left?
It would.
Right?
But if a human does that, then they need not even get their license back.
I think it happened. I think it happened a couple of years ago in Indiana. It was like a road.
Of course, it was in Indiana.
Okay, now let's play nice. They can hear us. We have to pick someplace else.
Okay. Well, wherever it happened, doesn't matter where it occurred. It shouldn't have happened.
I know. Maybe they fully committed. I remember one time I was looking
fully
for commit. I'm sorry, that's terrible. But I remember one time I was looking for an airport. My GPS was like, it took me to a cul-de-sac. I was in someone's driveway, convinced I was going to find the airport any minute now. That's when you're like, I'm sure that the airport is in Bob's driveway.
Ooh.
Yeah, there you go. By the way, we were talking about cutting the cords. 608 says, I listen to radio only. Well, thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. And the other thing, before I forget, now, Have you noticed any difference since the shutdown? Has that affected you at all, the federal government shutdown?
Not even a little so far.
Not even a little bit?
No.
They're having one of the places they're noticing it is like a lot of the state parks and any of the museums. Like the Lincoln home is closed because that's part of it.
Yeah. Well, if it gets to be springtime and I'm taking school groups around, then it's going to be a major issue.
Right.
So we go to state parks. We go to national landmarks.
I got to believe it's going to be fixed by then.
I should hope so.
Right. Well, I know that the House has passed a spending budget.
Right.
And
the Senate has already voted on to approve this one before.
Right.
But now McConnell, who is a cold, evil man,
right,
says he's not even going to bring it up to a vote.
Well, there you go.
Mitch McConnell is a cold, evil man.
Oh, boy. Here's the call from the 779. David, you have a question. What do you want to ask us?
Yeah, I was going to say the person sitting in the car, they have to put gas in it, you know, for automatic cars.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah.
So somebody's got to be around to put gas in it.
Well, I think part of the idea, I mean, driverless cars doesn't always mean that you're not driving the car. It just means that the car drives on its own. You can do other things. Is that more? That's more the idea, right?
Something like that. Well, if you're just there for the filling up the gas, I can just imagine the guy like watching them. You're like, okay, here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. It's my big moment.
Well, maybe, David, that's how we bring back gas station attendants.
Is
for the driverless. See, but not necessarily driverless, but our next caller has a thought on driverless vehicles. So thank you so much, David. Good question.
Yeah.
Yep. What is let's see what Bill wants to say. Oh, let me see. Oh, there you go. Hey Bill, what do you want to say?
Most people don't realize your big major trucking companies, when they get on the interstates nowadays, those trucks are driverless. Once they get it going, the driver just flips the switch and it controls the speed, keeps it the lane. The only thing, the driver can even sleep. The only thing the driver there for is to take it off the interstate and drive it to the delivery points.
Wow.
But once they get on the cross country, or even here, they're driverless.
Wow.
So how do the drivers occupy themselves?
Well, he just sits there. He's there in case a real emergency, but no, the truck is all controlled by, because if you ever follow a truck sometime when you're on the interstate a long way, you follow like one of the big major trucking companies, you'll notice that truck never changes lanes, never varies the speed, and you have to pass it. It never passes.
Right.
The ones that pass you on the highway, those are trucks that got their drivers controlling that truck.
Right.
But the driverless, they set them at the speed, and they do the speed limit, and that's all they do is sit there.
So are you a truck driver?
You can do anything you want, so you can read a book, eat lunch, go to sleep.
Are you a truck driver, Bill?
No, but I have truck driver friends that do it.
Have they taught you?
I got a couple drive for the big major companies. Yeah, they don't drive them. They only drive them on the street when they're in the city or like to go off the exit and that, because you really can't map them to do that yet.
Well, do you know that the employment rate for truck drivers, they're really hurting for drivers. The growth in the trucking industry between 2014, there was a 16.4 increase in trucking jobs, while all overall employment was 6%.
Well, you know what the reason for that is, don't you?
What is it?
Cannabis.
can't.
You can't pass the test. It's the drug, and it gets in your system. They can't hire you.
Oh boy! Well, there you go.
So all these people, and wanting to do cannabis, and they go, "Oh, that's a great thing." Well, you want some jobs? You're not going to get the job.
Hey, Bill. Even where
I worked, I've been retired now for 8 years. But where I worked, it was mandatory since about 1995. It was mandatory that once a year we got drug tests, and you never knew when they're going to do it.
By the way, Bill, there's a listener from the 847 says the driverless trucks are only out west, and it's not as much as you're thinking. But thank you so much for joining us, Bill. We appreciate your input. Have a great night. And and we have some other folks that are wondering if Bill has friends who are telling him the truth about the. Oh, here you go, Bill. Bill, you might want to hold on. There's a couple people calling in to maybe make some corrections about what you were saying. Hey, Jay, would you be nice to Bill? Okay, what'd you want to say?
All right, I'll be nice. But,
thank you.
There's no driverless trucks out there. I'm on the way to go get my truck and drive it all over the place and see my peers, and they're all in control of their vehicles.
Are there any?
The reason he doesn't see him pass or go fast is because we're highly trained professionals.
Okay, Jay, I have a question for you. I've asked this before, and I don't think there's a good way to do it. Is there a safe way to pass you when it's really raining, or should we just? I mean, it's hard because if I'm behind you, I'm in that tunnel of rain, but I can't get around.
Spray.
Yeah, it's hard to pass you too.
Yeah, I understand.
I take my time.
Yeah, there's a safe way. Just move to the left. Never pass on the right.
Of course.
Move to the left.
Yep.
And pass as efficiently or as fast, not as fast, where you're doing 90 when we're doing 65.
Right.
But pass as safe as you can. That's all.
I know. I just...
Try to make sure that you're seen.
Right.
Meaning that, you know, stay out of the blind spots for the driver and just... Go about your merry way.
No, those are definitely good tips. Definitely the make sure the semi can see you. There's nothing more important than when you're on the roads, I think. Yep, I agree with that.
Right. You see those signs on the trucks where if you can't see me, I can't see you?
Yep.
Well, that means look in the mirrors. If you can't see the driver, he can't see you.
The worst has got to be when you get into the urban areas, because I mean, the thing is that we see that big gap. Everyone just jumps in there, but it's really because, I mean, you're stop and go, so it takes a bit to get it going again, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it does. But a professionally trained driver will work it so he doesn't have to stop and go as much.
Right. You just kind of keep it rolling.
Right.
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 Yeah.
Right.
Well, thanks.
And we'll get there just as fast as you, going slow as you are going fast, jackrabbing ahead of us.
No, it's not jackrabbing. Usually it's merging. I'm always grateful for a semi. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get into this spot. I'm always...
Yeah, but back to the original, there's no driverless trucks. There are experiments with them.
Uh-huh.
But they are experimenting with driverless trucks. There's a lot of innovations coming up. But as far as driverless goes, it's not happening.
Is it possible there are more out west, like the 847 says?
Actually, it's happening in Ohio. There's nothing in Illinois yet that I know of.
Okay, gotcha. All right, well, thanks.
On the turnpikes, on the tollways, but not in the urban areas. Not in the urban areas at all.
That is good to know.
It's too congested. Yep.
Well, that's now we know a little bit more. Thank you so much, Jay. Be safe out there, all right?
You too. Thank you.
And thank you for keeping the country moving. Appreciate it. Have a good night. I don't know. I mean, you know, Bill's got friends that are telling him that, and if my friends were telling me something similar, I might tell that story as well. And oh, here we go. We've got our good friend Trucker Rich is coming on the line with us as well. He's one of our favorite callers. Hold on a second. Let me see. Oh wait, yeah, they. I thought I was going to say something else because Sarah, it started out with one word, and I was like, what is that going to say? Hey, Trucker Rich, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, pretty good, Patty.
Thank you.
I think a lot of reasons that people think trucks are driverless is because of the driver assist options on them.
Okay.
It's like, you know, you get your high-end cars, they've got the forward collision assist. Well,
right.
There's a lot of trucks out there that are like that, that if you're on cruise control and a truck ahead of you slows down, the collision prevention radar will slow your truck down.
Okay.
And you know how you've got on some high-end cars, they've got the, it says if you weave, you know, cross the center line, it'll alert you with a vibration in your seat or a buzzer or something like that.
Right.
Well, trucks have got that too. So it's almost like being, you know, driverless, but
it's being
when I was in the Army, I saw one complete driverless vehicle. That was a bulldozer that got out of control.
Oh, boy.
Was it ever a mess.
trying to catch up with that. That's not fun to try to, That's when you're like, where's the remote control on this thing? Are you familiar with something called Rain-X? Someone said I should use Rain-X. Makes truck passing in the rain easy. You don't even have to turn your wipers on. I don't know what Rain-X is. I'll have to Google that. Is that something?
Rain-X is like a glass wax. It's like a wax for your windshield and makes water run off.
Okay. Well, you know what my concern is about passing you when it's heavy rain. It's not just that I can't see. It feels like a guy drive a Prius, so it feels gusty right there too. It feels like I won't be able to keep control of the car and the water with all of it coming off of the truck and the wheels.
Well, I don't, it's not so much the rain coming off our trucks. It's the wind we're pushing ahead of our trucks.
Right, and I can feel that.
And now that the trucks have gotten more aerodynamic, it's creating like an arrow weight. I guess you'd picture an arrow.
Sure. Piercing, yeah.
You know, it's like the wake of a boat.
Okay.
That's basically what you're getting off of our trucks.
So it's better to hang back, right?
Yeah, well, pass when it's safe, you know. I mean, there's no sense in being back there getting drowned, drenched. But, you know, like the other guy said, just make sure your headlights are on and pull out there and be seen. And most of us truck drivers out here have enough courtesy that we're going to let you get around us.
Okay. Oh, no doubt about it.
If you've ever noticed that if you get too close to a semi in the back,
right,
your car will speed up just a little bit.
Right.
Because you're getting sucked along by our draft, just like NASCAR racing, you know.
That's when I start getting nervous.
Yeah. Well, I do too. I get nervous out here in the truck, you know. There's, like the one guy said, there's a lot of people out here that can't pass the test, and there's a lot of people out here that are marginal, you know, like new drivers that don't have the experience, so.
Right. Well, sometimes the nerves keeps you sharp, too, and I appreciate you being out there, Trucker Rich.
Thank you. I'm just glad I can listen to you guys, and hopefully next week Dr. Dingman can get on so I can just call and say hi.
All right. I'll get him on here. We couldn't get him on this week, but I'll get him on next week. We'll plan that for Wednesday. All right. Thanks. Thank you, Trucker Rich. Be well.
Bye-bye. Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. I want to thank Adam Salzer and Cassara. Great job producing tonight. It's a pleasure to work with you. I know David Jennings has taken leave of us, and Vic Vaughn will be in the newsroom in a moment. 312-981-7200. At the end of the day, we try to share something that makes us smile, makes us happy. I'll go first. It was a lovely day. I got to spend some time with my family tonight. We watched. There's a show that my son loves called The Thick of It, which is by the creators of Veep, and so we were watching. We were also watching. Did you ever see Knight's Tale with Heath Ledger? It's from a long time ago. It's actually kind of a fun movie.
It is. Yeah,
so we're watching that one tonight too. So we're just hanging out, watching some TV before he heads back to school next week. Declan hanging out with us as well. Tell me something good, Adam.
I've been reading this biography of Edward Gorey by Mark Derry. It's called "Born to Be Posthumous." He's used the word crepuscular twice, and I'm only on chapter two.
What's crepuscular mean?
Of or pertaining to twilight.
Oh. That's a great word.
Yeah, it comes up now and then on my tours, actually. When I'm reading 19th century newspapers, that comes up now and then. But even then, I feel like they're getting paid by the word here.
No kidding. Oh, that's great. How about you, Cassara? What are you celebrating tonight?
I am off this weekend.
Congratulations.
I don't DJ at all, Friday or Saturday.
Just going to rest.
Yeah, going to rest and just spend time with friends.
That's great.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful weekend doing that. Yeah.
Thank you.
By the way, I didn't get a chance to mention that Adam is working on a new book. That makes me happy, too.
Yeah.
You're working on a new book on Graceland Cemetery,
yeah,
which everyone knows. If you're a Cubs fan, you walk right by it when you're going to get your car or catch a bus.
Yep.
And I know that you've found some fascinating... You find something fascinating.
I'm always finding new stuff about it. Some of it's some big enough finds that I'm going to have to wait for like a press release later on or something. But,
yeah.
You never know who's buried right in your backyard, really.
It's true.
You could just be walking through there. Some people with the most unobtrusive gravestones, or some of them not even marked. There's all these fascinating stories. There's a couple hundred thousand people in this cemetery. That's a whole city
in Graceland?
Worth of people. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's massive.
Up in that vicinity, yeah.
It doesn't seem that big. It's right there in the middle of the city.
About a third of them are cremations.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
So that which I suppose helps.
It saves a little bit of room.
Yeah, and I also just recently found Joe Hill, the labor leader, was cremated there.
Joe Hill.
Joe Hill,
I don't know.
He's mostly a subject of folk songs now, but he's a labor leader who was executed. In about the 1910s, for getting organized.
Oh, boy. Then I'm never getting organized.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean labor, trying to get people. All right. Wow, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, you keep finding wilder and wilder stories about politics. A lot of it was really just the same stuff we're going through now with different words on it.
How do they have the records? I mean, there must be different.
Most of what I'm getting is out of newspaper archives and the legal archives.
Okay.
The same places I go for most things, really.
So do you find something on a tombstone and then try to double check
it? A lot of times that's the start. Yeah,
yeah.
That's the start, or going through interment books and just trying to find, like, who was the oldest person here, and anything interesting, just reading down over cause of death.
Right. Well, that's we will check in with you as you progress with your book.
All right. Yeah, I'll have more concrete news about it, hopefully, in a couple of months.
Excellent. That's Adam Selzer. Follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, go to adamchicago.com. That'll link you to everything right now. I'm sending mean tweets to senators.
Oh, boy.